Creativity is a significant issue with the innovation leader for obvious reasons. Creativity is central to the life of the organization. In challenging and transforming times such as experienced today in healthcare, creativity is needed even more than at any other time in our contemporary history. We have to remember, as innovative leaders, that generating creativity and creating an urge and a context for that creativity comprises much of the role of leadership. Tapping into the creativity already present in individuals that may or may not be known by these individuals is also equally important. In a recent article in the October 2008 Harvard Business Review, Teresa Amabile and Mukti Kahare review creativity and the elements of creativity. I'd like to take some of the emphasis that they established with regard to creativity, incorporate some of their wonderful insights with regard to leadership and creativity into the context for healthcare, adding a few other comments along the way that I think are relevant to healthcare innovation, leadership, and the creativity necessary to spawn it. The author suggests that creativity is always at the heart of enterprise and organization, but now needs to be at the top of the manager's agenda. There's certainly no doubt in that. The ability to create something novel and appropriate is essential to the spirit of entrepreneurship and the entrepreneurial capacity of an organization. That entrepreneurial capacity has much to do with the organization's ability to continue to thrive and grow and develop and to become what it needs to become in a changing culture and in a transforming socio-technical environment. As healthcare certainly experiences those changes, we find that there is a prevailing conflict between much of the organizational context of healthcare, which is based on historical, traditional organizational frames for the delivery of service, and the emerging technology and the need to have that technology well served is in fundamental conflict. The need for high levels of mobility and fluidity now suggests that much of the organizational structure for healthcare is actually an impediment to being able to engage the need for creativity and the demand for change and transformation that is currently knocking at the door of healthcare. Most of the structures in healthcare are based on notions of fixed, finite, and functional infrastructure for health delivery services. Most of the emerging socio-technical realities now call for a healthcare system that is fluid, flexible, focused, portable, and mobile. This portability and mobility is the central cornerstone for the future of healthcare delivery and demands entirely different views of leadership, of organization, and of relationship and process necessary to maintain a thrival frame for healthcare for the foreseeable future. Much of the demand for creativity, then, is to focus on changing this infrastructure in a way that supports it in a meaningful way. While creativity has long been a focus of academics in fields ranging from anthropology to neuroscience, it has rarely been seen in healthcare leadership as a construct for how organizations are structured. Certainly there is a lot of lip service and conversation and talk and even a demand for creativity in organizations, but actually changing the culture and character of the organization to support the demands of creativity certainly is beyond either the scope, the capacity, or the interests of leaders who might lose some sense of control and centrality if that kind of a system were actually created and if creativity actually were able to thrive, especially within a organizational construct. As the life cycle of many changes becomes shorter and shorter, and as new initiatives pile on top of older initiatives, a real understanding of the elements of creativity and what really needs to be in place for creativity to be well served is important to the role of the leader. as the competition now turns into partnership and into generating a strategy that changes the whole field and changes the very nature of partnership, the best and greatest number of ideas and creativity and innovation and new thoughts about how best to stimulate and advance organizations will be the keystone to those organizations' ability to thrive. There is often a lot of discussion in management circles and in the arenas of creativity as to whether management is an impediment or a facilitator of creativity and innovation. Certainly, traditional notions of management is a barrier to the creative process and can create many constructs that can actually impede the generation of creative thinking as well as structuring for creative response. Historic management theory and approaches where control is a driving element certainly creates a number of impediments to even the consideration of the processes of creativity, which actually run counter to such models. One of the things that we need to recognize is that in the creative process there is a role for management. It's just different from the traditional definitions of management and calls management and leadership individuals to a different mental model with regard to their own role, and the role of organization and systems is a way that stimulates and supports creativity. One of the things that's really important for managers is to recognize that their predominant role in a highly creative and innovative enterprise is to create a context for innovation, a way that innovation is disciplined by strategy, but has the freedom to begin to unfold in a way that pushes the walls even of strategic parameters so that we can begin to start seeing how creativity can serve as a means for helping fulfill the requirements of the organization to thrive in a constantly changing social and systems context. This notion of creating context is an important one for the innovation leader because context provides the frame within which all activity unfolds, making sure that there's a goodness of fit, a consonance between the context of the organization and the creative urge and demand within for its ability to thrive is clearly a challenging activity, but one necessary for the ability of organizations and systems to attend to those matters and interests which can assure its ability to be vibrant over the long term. The first priority of leadership is actually driven by having the right people in the right place. Decisions now are not so much what leaders do, but represent what leaders see happens in the organization. In creative organizations, it's not so much that leaders decide. Leaders see that good decisions are made. The goodness of a decision depends directly on its relationship to the ability of the organization to continue to thrive and to engage its future on a trajectory of thriving. The engagement starts with making sure that the right people are on board and that the right people are incorporated in the process of innovation and the activities in the organization which support that innovation. Traditional management certainly looks at projects and assigns people to them. But remember that increasingly the ideas and creativities of generativity don't emerge in the hands of managers, but generally instead emerge out of the minds of knowledge workers, especially in healthcare, at the point of service, who are dealing constantly with the issues of service, the application of technology, and certainly in patient care. Therefore, the first thing that leaders really must be able to do is to tap creativity from those who are most likely to have it. That means that creativity may emerge any place in the organization. More likely, it will emerge at the point of service with those engaged and involved in generating those services. More often than not, those are the individuals closest to the impact of change and the drama of service, and therefore have the opportunity to most access the creative needs of the organization as they respond to the demands for service and for needs as articulated by patients. In knowledge work environments, it is becoming clearer that the source of creativity and innovation come out of the minds, heads, and hearts of knowledge workers. All kinds of evidence now indicates that that those who are involved in innovation, needing a lot of autonomy and freedom, also produce a lot of the products of innovation and creativity that results from this autonomy and freedom. These worker-driven or knowledge worker-driven initiatives are really critical elements that result in much innovation, creativity, and the products of that creativity in organizational systems. One of the things that really is important for managers is to distribute creative responsibilities across the organization, driven by what goes on at the point of service. Many leaders now suggest that new technology is now being driven essentially by the ability of that technology to respond to the demands of users and those closest to the applications of those technologies. Interestingly enough, in healthcare, interest and intersection with technology usually comes after the technology has been created. Those at the point of service, so-called users of technology, are rarely involved in primary stage design, and therefore initial design doesn't represent the understanding that knowledge workers would bring to it from the perspective of application, from the translational mindset and the use mindset of those who would actually apply these technologies within the clinical environment. The application of these technologies often come after the initial systems design, rather than informing that systems design and guiding its development from the onset. Not seeing providers and care deliverers as designers instead of as users certainly gives some insight as to the view on their role in the creative and innovative process in the design stages of technology. Is it any wonder with that view that there are so many problems associated with implementing technology and with adjusting that technology so that it becomes more user-friendly and user-specific? Without the user as a part of the design, the only thing that can happen once design is created is a reactive response from users, thus delaying and increasing the costs associated with the creativity involved in initiating these products and technology designs. Amabile and Kahari note, very correctly I think, that the lone inventor myth is one that certainly operates in the mythology and mindset of a lot of people. No innovation ever is the product of the unilateral action of any one individual. Usually, breakthroughs and other kinds of initiatives, if they are to be translated into successful initiatives or products, is the result of a huge array of stakeholders and investors and engagers in the process. Therefore, from a leader's perspective, encouraging and creating a construct which makes collaboration a fundamental framework for doing business is really critical. It can be said that actually creating collaborative environments where relationship and teamwork and involvement and engagement with each other is the way of doing business is really the future model of work. This is especially so in the clinical services. However, one of the interesting challenges of clinical services is how necessary the partnership between the various knowledge workers is in order to obtain the outcomes of clinical practice. However, much of the organization structure in health systems are designed as silos, keeping health professionals from each other and making it very difficult for collaboration to be the way of doing business. The free enterprise model for the physician and the indentured servant model for employed professionals creates an entirely different framework for building relationships and different perceptions with regard to the contribution each of these players make and of their relationship with each other. Physicians see themselves as separate and superior to nurses, who see themselves as separate and coordinators of the journey of healthcare, needing relationships with others but wanting to direct it. This notion of nurse-physician relationship is one of studied history and of painful experience. Nurses and physicians have a natural distaste for each other and see each other in highly competitive ways within a hierarchical construct that is no longer sustainable but still existent. And because of the financial relationship between the physician and the hospital and the lack of parity with other health professionals that help sustain and facilitate that relationship, this antagonism and disagreement between two key disciplines keeps generated within the organization and simply remains unresolved, when the truth is that neither discipline can operate without the other, and that both are interdependent as far as meeting patient needs and achieving clinical outcomes. This is certainly true with the other disciplines, from pharmacy to the therapies and the technologies. The need for collaboration and integration, and for finding the intersections where most of their creative ventures need to unfold, is an absolute central notion of the future of healthcare services and healthcare delivery. Working in collaborative teams means deconstructing the silos, changing the nature of relationships between physicians, nurses, and the hospital, changing the interaction and character of those relationships, and creating the conditions which make it necessary for them to collaborate in order to succeed. This fundamental process of collaboration as a way of doing business now must be a continual construct for the success of organizations, especially in healthcare over the long term. It's important to recognize that when you build a collaborative environment, new kinds of models of relationship generate, and if outcomes or creative strategies are to be used, new kinds of processes, developmental processes, prototypes, metaphors, analogies, stories, and other kinds of frames for innovation must be a part of the relationship between the stakeholders, the investors, and the creators, and the discipline's obligation to meet at the table, utilizing these various skill sets, models, and methodologies to produce outcomes that none of them could produce without each other. Historical notions of hierarchy, represented by significant pay differentiation, benefit differentiation, role differentiation, empowerment processes, and relationships to the organization, create a level of differentiation and hierarchy that becomes a significant impediment to engagement, to ownership, to investing, and to a sense of belonging and wanting to be a part of the team processes associated with facilitating success. These significant differences in rewards, benefits, and relationships create barriers that simply cannot be overcome, and trying to get others interested in engagement with no net direct benefit or relationship to the individual's contribution creates an almost impossible barrier to overcome. These issues must also be on the table, just as issues of team-based activities, relationship building, good management equity, and understanding of the engagement, empowerment, and investment roles. These cannot be sustained if the more hygienic factors are not also addressed and incorporated into the dialogue that creates much more equity, ownership, and involvement on the part of all stakeholders, who may increasingly be the source of the innovation and creativity which assures the ability of organizations to thrive, especially in healthcare today. The need to identify superstars other than those that can be found in traditional roles, and helping them succeed, and joining them in the benefits of success, helps create much more involvement and investment in ideas for problem solving, because it demonstrates a level of ownership and engagement that clearly results in direct benefits to all of those who are stakeholders in the process. More and more evidence is suggesting that diversity is also essential to the effectiveness of creativity and innovation. Franz Johansson, in The Medici Effect, described his findings based on interviews with people doing highly creative work in many fields. He discovered that innovation is more likely when people of different disciplines, backgrounds, and areas of expertise share their thinking and participate in the innovation process. This notion of the value of diversity is becoming increasingly more important as we begin to realize the necessity of diversity with regard to the search for those things that are honest and effective, truthful, and valuable to organizations. the more diverse the environment and the more diverse the thinking, the more likely the issues that are necessary to be discussed and openly laid out on the table will actually be addressed. The hidden agendas or secrets of the professional group are less likely to be sustained when others not related to those secrets or values are at the table, generating different views and different insights with regard to the application of values, insights, opportunities, and notions related to any innovation or creative process. The complexity of a problem generally demands diversity. It takes a huge team to deal with the contemporary information-driven complex problems in highly complex and chaotic organizations responding to the accelerating rate of technological change. One need only think of the many medical technologies that have emerged in the last years in diagnostic and interventive therapies that requires a whole host of engineers and scientists, thinkers and developers, users and patients as they begin to apply these new technologies to making a difference in the lives of those who will benefit from them. The application of a wide variety of fields and methodologies and habits of mind to other fields of problems and concerns helps produce a breakthrough in thinking and forms the foundation for many major innovations. Even within individual mental models, diversity enhances creativity, challenges one's line of thinking, forces one to include different frames of reference and other options in one's thinking in order to make sure that much of the discipline and unilateral nature of one's thinking be informed by a whole variety of other forces, influences, and dynamics that may not be necessarily available to individuals. If one thinks about social and cultural diversity, and the differences in identities that one brings to the table just based on cultural and social issues, it becomes overwhelming the significance in terms of the frame that those differences can bring to the way people think and act. These social identities often have distinct knowledge associated with them, and to the extent that an individual is comfortable in integrating multiple identities, his or her knowledge sets can combine productively and can provide a unique and creative set of ways of informing one's own thinking and expanding that frame of thinking to produce different kinds of knowledge outcomes. Lee and Cheng of University of Michigan and Columbia University have both been able to indicate that people with higher levels of identity integration display higher levels of creativity when problems require that they draw on their different realms of knowledge. The point here is if managers can cause people to leave behind their suppressed parts of identity and free themselves to view other elements of their identity, inform those elements, broaden them, they expand a potential valuable source of creativity. If these managers can encourage identity integration through the use of cultural, social, and personal diversity and the integration of that diversity, all people in the innovative process can become more creative and can work more generatively together. Managers and leaders can also enhance diversity by looking outside the organization for sources of creativity. Collaboration need not just be bounded by the walls of the organization, but pointed to networking with other organizations, establishing other relationships with those related to the service or with those not necessarily related to the full range of deliberative processes but components of it in a way that will inform thinking, advise action, and stimulate new ways of applying innovation and creative processes. While open source innovation, which really draws a lot on diversity and the creative urge of the application of technological processes, remains yet fully unproven, increasing amounts of evidence suggests that it is a viable foundation upon which innovative organizations can build success. These open networks, which allow all kinds of creative relationships and interactions and intersections to be built and utilized, provides a strong frame for viable innovation processes and for moving more and more towards a viable and understandable either technology or innovation process or product. These networks of people that are involved in innovation simply because of their interest and because of their desire, often called tinkerers, are motivated not necessarily to get rich at a particular point in time, but by the technological challenges and the romance of being associated with the new, the creative, the innovative, the different, and the perhaps significant. It is only after this process matures that more specific business models and approaches emerge in the organizational system. Prior to this, however, the open source innovation taps the passion and ingenuity of these tinkerers, and it offers huge potential for creative output, where new industries with proprietary or secret technology can arise from it only after generated by these high levels of relationship, interactions, intersections, and dynamics of the creative process of these tinkerers and excited and interested innovative personalities. Open source processes may work only in certain kinds of endeavors, only for certain windows of time, and then as they move towards more meaningful product-oriented and profit-oriented outcomes, the windows close and more specific and distinct processes generating from business constructs apply as competition becomes a stronger urge and more a part of the product process. Building process is really important to the success of innovation and change. Making sure that there's a good fit between the infrastructure and the processes unfolding is also critical. This is getting more and more difficult as the creative processes generate the understanding that more and more layers of management actually strangle or impede the ability to be creative and innovative at all levels of the organization. Making sure that the layers of an organization are kept to the minimum and building infrastructure that assures the support of the creative process is critical. Now, building an infrastructure that is technologically specific and supportive and provides some of the discipline in terms of data generation and other parameter setting frames helps make the innovation process more directed, more controlled, and more disciplined by virtue of the strategy or the intent that organizations have with regard to producing something that's meaningful for the organization and remains viable for it. Managers, leaders, and infrastructure systems that help provide that support, discipline the process with information management, and alignment becomes a vehicle for assuring that the processes are successful, yet fulfill the strategic imperatives of the organization and ultimately result in something meaningful and productive. Mapping out the phases of the creative work so that there is a discipline and a set of stages that the process goes through is really critical. These models make good sense for beginning, middle, and end stages of the innovation process. Obviously, at the beginning stages, there is more openness, more creativity, more freedom for free-flowing thought and development and idea generation. But as the process moves to middle stages and late stages, more framework, more discipline, more direction, and more form begins to develop the infrastructure of the innovation support system to assure that the translation into something that's viable, meaningful, saleable, and sustainable gets unfolded within the organizational system. For the manager, this may mean that certain kinds of players are better at the beginning stages of the innovation process than they would be in later stages, and therefore understanding the contribution that individuals can make at specific stages is a critical part of leadership's understanding of creating an appropriate context to support the stage of innovation that a particular change or dynamic is going through. Next, managing handoffs becomes really critical because as a product now gets commercialized and gets ready for outcome, or a process gets ready for application, the handoff now becomes critical to the effectiveness of it. Those that are designers now need to be able to assure that there's a good fit between the design and the application, and that those who will lead the handoff and translate it into application, either outcome, product, or process, is really, really critical to the success of the system. Also, providing pathways through the bureaucracy so that this innovation doesn't get strangled in the process, gets detached from its ability to succeed, or gets its life sucked out of it because it is not generated in terms of the normal and natural trajectory it could achieve if it wasn't bogged down by bureaucracy, process, policy, and procedural elements. We've got to watch that the constituencies of stakeholders in the company that can shepherd and support the process through becomes really critical to the effectiveness of avoiding the bureaucratic entrenchment that any process can confront as it moves through the system. Executives and leaders need to create a culture in which the creativity can thrive repeatedly, returning to the idea of the innovation, the notion of what the innovation is intended to do, and disciplining the journey through the stages of innovation with the notion of what it is that is hoped to be accomplished by moving that innovation continually through process. Finally, the dynamic of innovation is really the critical element of the leader's role in assuring an innovative enterprise. If you're trying to enhance creativity, there are certain definables that must be a part of the leader's process and role if the organization is to sustain its creativity and innovation. First, the leader must remember that individuals, and certainly leaders, are not the sole font of ideas. Leaders must see that there's an appreciative audience for innovation and creativity, ask the right questions and questions that inspire more creativity and innovation, and allow ideas to bubble up from the point of service, from the place where those who own the processes and the work generate those ideas. Second, the leader must remember that enabling collaboration is central to the creative process and to successful innovations. Combating the lone innovator myth as though it even exists is an important fundamental role of the leader as he or she takes on the innovative process in the organization and builds collaboration. Define superstars in the organization as someone who actually helps others succeed, that a superstar is somebody who enables others, not somebody who simply unilateral or sees themselves as the driver of change, but somebody who can enable others to succeed. And use coordination teams or totems, metaphors, analogies, stories to help teams conceptualize together in order to make sure that the change occurs. Remember also that diversity is really critical to the success of the innovation, and that as a leader you're creating an environment that supports diversity. Getting people together with different backgrounds and expertise, ways in which they can work together in unique and fundamentally different ways. Encourage individuals to gain even more diverse experiences themselves that will increase their availability and their use of creative insights gained from these diverse experiences. And then open up the organization. Throw open the doors of the organizations to outside creative contributors. Use creative ideas that come from elsewhere. Bring other creative individuals into the organization. Borrow creative thinking and idea generation from wide varieties of sources in order to make sure that you use the most innovative and creative strategies necessary to make change. Remember to map the stages of creativity. Tend to their different needs. Avoid process management and the fuzzy front end. Remember, the front end is supposed to be creative and innovative, loose, chaotic, and crazy. It can get more structured as the next stages of creativity unfold, but you want to make sure that the initial stages allow for the most creative thinking to occur. Provide sufficient time and resources for exploration, exploitation, development, and refinement. And manage the handoffs to the translation, to application, to interpretation, to all of the things that work to making either a product or a process or an innovation work and effective. Accept the inevitability and the utility of failure. Failure is an essential component of the innovation process. Create psychological safety to maximize learning from the failure. Make failure a part of the innovation process. Incorporate it into the normative strategies of innovation so it's not looked at as an exception, but as an essential and fundamental part of the innovation itself. Recognize that different kinds of failure operate and find out how they can be useful. Create really good mechanisms for filtering ideas and killing dead-end projects before they suck the life out of the organization and out of its resources. And finally, motivate with all of the intellectual challenge available to you as a leader. Protect the front end from commercial pressure. Allow it to be creative and innovative and allow that process to yield the next stages of innovation. Clear pathways through the bureaucracy so that the creative idea doesn't get killed by the bureaucracy itself. Make it flexible. Reduce levels of bureaucracy. Make it clear in terms of the role of each to facilitate and encourage and develop and fan the flames of the innovation and move it along the processes. Let people do as good work as they can so that they can focus on excellence and effectiveness, producing products good enough, but move them along the trajectory so that they enhance and improve the more people deal with them and get involved in applying their own skills and talents to refining them. And show higher purpose of projects whenever possible so that people can see the story of the product, the direction of the product, the vision of that product or service or outcome in a way that generates real meaning and value and makes a difference. This is especially important for healthcare knowledge workers who find meaning and value in making a difference in the lives of patients. And remember, all through the process, grant as much independence and support as possible in order to make sure that individuals engage it and have some sense of ownership and investment in the process that means something really, really important to them. These are just foundational thoughts and notions as grounded Mapability and Kahari's work, but applied more distinctly and specifically to the healthcare environment. Innovative leaders really have to recognize that an organization that is truly an innovative organization is different from other kinds of organizations, and now essential to the ability of healthcare systems to thrive. Clearly, in today's contemporary workplace, organizations, healthcare system, and society, the desperate need for innovation, creativity, and the ability to get broad-based engagement is essential to the ability of healthcare to move to the next level of refinement and development and to really, really benefit the health of the American population. The innovative leader sees this, creates this vision, recognizes creativity and innovation as a process, a dynamic that actually works, and then creates the infrastructure and systems necessary to support it. These foundations define the leadership role of the innovation leader and begin to characterize the fundamental transformations that must occur in organizations in order to assure their own future.